The reading this morning is taken from Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, you are the true light shining in the darkness. You are love incarnate, breaking again into our world. As we pause and reflect on your words this morning, may your Holy Spirit fall afresh upon each of us. And in this time, may you draw each of us closer to you, deepening our faith, increasing our hope, and expanding our love. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. Well, Happy New Year. Who remembers what I said last week? Yeah. Happy New Year. Happy New Church Year. This first Sunday in Advent, the start of the church's new year. Now, what does the word Advent mean? Anybody know? What does Advent mean? Beginning. That's a good guess. Yeah. That's pretty close to it. It means arrival, appearance, right? Which is a type of beginning. And for us as Christians, Advent is a time of worship and preparation. And each of these four Sundays in Advent, the 27th, the 4th, the 11th, and the 18th, we will successively light one of these four candles. And good job, Dave, it's still burning as well. And each light is meant to be a building reminder that we're drawing closer to what? Christmas, the birth of Jesus. And we know this story so well, don't we? At least we think we do. In years past, pre-COVID, going into the schools around this time to talk about Christmas, I was always amazed and heartened to know how many of the kids in our primary schools would know the basic framework and details of the actual Christmas story. It's permeating into our lives. We know some of the parts of the story so well, at least we think we do. And we're quite comfortable. We even look forward to the usual pageantry of Christmas. And along with this exquisite wreath, of course, I'll step out of the way for one moment. Now, this beautiful new tree, and a huge thanks to those who set that up this week. We're used to the decorations, we're used to the candles, the Christmas carols, and we're used to my amazing jokes on watch night before Christmas Eve. All I'll say about that is that the numbers speak for themselves. Thank you very much. Because the church has been sharing this story for over two millennia, though, I think we often regard Advent this time of year like the spiritual equivalent of a warm, fuzzy blanket and warm slippers. Things make us go, ah, this is nice. This is comfortable. I know this. We're getting to the good part. And I won't dispute that. It is the good part. But as we lean into Advent, we need to remember that even though the coming of Jesus was foretold throughout Scripture, and even though it was and is the supreme act of God's grace, the coming of Jesus was also and is also a disruptive and unexpected event. In a very real sense, I think the entirety of the Lord's ministry can be seen as one big act of God's disruptive and unexpected grace. Yes, grace can be disruptive. Grace can be unexpected. And everything that Jesus said and he did, it was meant to wake us out of our stupor and reorient us back again and again to the reality of God's inbreaking kingdom. And this, I think, is a central aspect of Advent. God disrupting our lives in new and unexpected ways. So I have a question. You can answer yes by raising your hand. Who here has ever been at your home minding your own business and then suddenly got a phone call or even a knock on the door from an unexpected guest? Has that ever happened to you before? Yes. Quite a few hands, right? And usually, hopefully, in a welcome guest as well, but still unexpected, nevertheless. Ding dong. Oh. And how do we feel in such a moment when we get in, as Kathleen was like this, and that's about right. On one hand, we'd be very glad, maybe even pleased, to see or hear from an unexpected but welcome guest, right? Oh, so lovely to see you. Call me. Right? But maybe we'd also feel a sense of panic as well, right? I have not time to Hoover. Right? As if we only Hoover when guests come over. The bed sheets haven't been washed, right? I need to get some groceries. And most importantly here in the UK, I haven't put the kettle on. That one's pretty easy to fix. But it's still an essential aspect of hospitality to have these things ready, right? And an unexpected guest can throw us for a loop sometimes. Now today's passage from Matthew, speaking of unexpected guests, is not what we might consider part of the usual Advent texts. But it's very much in keeping with Advent as an unexpected and even disruptive event. Today's text reminds us that in the New Testament, there are actually two Advents. You could say that the New Testament is a tale of two Advents. Right? The first Advent is what? Christmas. The birth of? Oh, there we go. What about the second Advent? What's the second Advent? Say it louder, David Bale. the return of Jesus, right? Now, these two Advents are forever joined together. We cannot have one without the other. We cannot understand one without the other. The first Advent is about Christmas, the birth of baby Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem. But the second Advent is about the return of Jesus, who, according to Scripture and in the words of the Apostles' Creed, will come again to judge the living and the dead. Or to use the older language, which I quite like, the quick and the dead. And today's passage from Matthew's Gospel that Ishbel read for us a few moments ago is today's passage about the first or second Advent. The second Advent and his return. Now, maybe talking about the return of Jesus fills our minds with all sorts of imagery about street corner preachers wearing placards and screaming about judgment, hellfire, and brimstone. And I hope we can lay such imagery aside and instead pay attention to what Jesus actually says about his second Advent. So in verses 36 to 37, the Lord says, "But about that day, that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." So, throughout the history of the church, probably because human beings by nature are inquisitive and curious and like to be in control of things, at least I do, many Christians have pored over the biblical texts like Daniel and Isaiah and texts in the New Testament to try and calculate when is he gonna come back, right? But then we have this kind of text in Matthew 24. No one knows the day or the hour. Not even the angels, not the Son, only the Father. And still, many Christians have tried to figure out when is he going to come back. Many of these efforts have used very dubious methods with equally dubious results. And so we need, I think, to accept what the Lord says at face value. No one knows. Only the Father knows. It's not about for us as calculating when it's going to happen. It's enough for us to know, I think, that the second Advent will happen. It will happen. And then we continue in the text. The Lord's words reinforce the futility of trying to guess, trying to predict. In his teaching, the Lord compares his second Advent to the time of Noah, when the floods seemed to come in without warning. And according to Scripture, at that time, the time of Noah, the people were quite comfortable. The culture was quite settled. They're also very far from God. And apart from Noah and his wider family, at that time, we're told no one was prepared for the hard and swift and sudden reality of God's judgment. So in this passage from Matthew, our Lord is reminding us that his second Advent will also come without warning. And so he says, "Therefore, keep watch. You do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this," the Lord says, "if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, would not have let his house be broken into. So you, too, must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him." Now, in my life, I've sometimes found that the spoken word is an insufficient vehicle for conveying the truth of God's word. Sometimes we need another means or another layer of communication to better grasp what Jesus is saying to us through Scripture. He says, "You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour, at a time you do not expect him." So, over the next few minutes as we reflect on these words of Jesus, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour you do not expect him. Reflect on these words, the meaning of the Lord's first and second advent, as our band shares a special piece of music, and remain seated, as the band shares a special piece of music about the Lord's second advent. As Christians, we must not be complacent about our faith. We cannot let ourselves be lulled into a life of lethargy. We are called, we are claimed, we are redeemed by Jesus, and we belong to him fully. And as those who belong to him, we must always be ready for his second advent. This posture of joyful readiness, it needs to shape every part of who we are, how we use our days, how we use our talents, how we use our money, how we treat other people. It all must be done in the light of our Lord's second advent. And this means that we have to have different priorities and a different focus than an unbelieving world around us. This means we have to live with an abiding sense of hope and joy, knowing that whatever darkness we experience, and the darkness is real, but whatever we experience, the day is coming, friends. when pain will be fully healed, when darkness will be fully dispelled, when God will be all in all. So as we reflect on the joy and the meaning of and the power, the celebration of the Lord's first advent, let's keep it connected to the hope of his second. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we do know he will return. So let's get ready. Let's stay ready. Advent is coming, and will come again. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.